Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field for the final Texas Rangers home game of the season. They have opened the doors. The Tolos are pouring in. We've already said hello to a whole lot of people. It has been a fantastic experience. And then we just talked with Melissa Stark on the other side. And she said that Deron Bland told her that he was going to play on Sunday night. So that feels like a very positive thing, hopefully, if true, for the Dallas Cowboys.
I do wonder, is that a, I'm going to play, and that's what players say? Or if that, like, I don't know whose decision it is yet.
Yeah.
But I love that she got that information in the conversation she had with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I wanted to ask, the Cowboys are at 1-2 right now. I don't know how shocking that is to people, so I wanted to focus in on specifically, for better or for worse, what have you been wrong about with the Cowboys this season? So it could be a positive, it could be a negative. I've got some of both.
Okay.
Corey,
yeah.
Would you like to start? Would you like me to go to the fan text? You want to go with me?
I'll start this off a little bit. Kevin, I'll be very honest. I'm going to be very, very honest about the thing that I was wrong about. I thought the secondary was going to be better. I legitimately, and I know there's been a lot of shuffling going on. There's been a lot of trying to figure out who's going to be there based on the fact that they have injuries all the time. But I thought that they were going to be able to cover better. That was something that they were going to be, the pass rush was going to struggle. But I really felt like that was going to be something that would be the strength. Now, I'm very wrong about it. Eberflus hasn't been able to get on the same page. And the one thing I probably should have been, I was going based on the fact that I thought his secondary was pretty tough last year in Chicago. The one thing I've learned over this time is that he's much more of a front seven guy than he is a secondary guy. And so that's the thing that I missed on completely. Other than that, I've been right about everything else. Nailed all of them.
Wow.
Yeah, everything else.
Okay. Well, Alec, that's great news for Corey. He's been right about everything else. Have you been right about everything else, or do you have other things, positive or negative, that you've been wrong about with this team?
One thing that I will take credit for, not totally, because I don't coach the team.
Are you guys changing the segment to what you've been right about?
No, because a lot of people were wrong about this, and I will say that I was a Javonte Williams fan. I was concerned about the overall depth, and, hey, if he gets hurt, one, is he going to play the same ever again? Two, who's going to play behind him?
Right.
was worried about the room in general, but I was excited about him. What I have been wrong about is I thought we were going to get a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, but like intensity in the passing game and a little bit more, of a spread out look from the offense rather than CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Lamb, Javonte Williams, CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if I was expecting George Pickens to get a lot more volume in the first three games. I really don't know what I was expecting from it, but it has looked different than I expected, especially once you got on the other side of the 50. I don't know if it's just being complacent because you know that you have an automatic 3 points waiting for you, or if it's just once you get past the 50, maybe things just aren't going your way. Defenses are giving you different looks, but I thought that the offense passing-wise would look a little bit more spread out and aggressive.
I'm right there with Alec on the aggressive part. The spread out part, I'm glad he included that as well. But the aggressive part, I thought there would be so much more downfield attack and, right. and opportunities. Quite honestly, the like Turpin, some of the stuff he's getting underneath, I see why. Pickens going deep, and then you have routes that just kind of layer that way. That's great. I did expect some more, and maybe Dak's just not comfortable trusting it yet. Maybe he's just not there yet with I'm going to push it downfield. Dude, you can pick up 40 yards by just putting the ball up in the air and getting a pass interference. It's been proven.
Yeah.
It's been proven twice now with George Pickens and Dak. So that thing, that pushing downfield, I expected a lot more. And then that would open up other things. They have still been a we're going to run to set up the pass team, which I kind of thought would be a different approach this year.
You know, Alec, when you're talking about, like, some of the people weren't stoked about Javonte Williams, I'm definitely going to raise my hand. I was not excited about that, and the number one thing I was thinking is I was wrong about the Cowboys' effectiveness in both rushing offense and rushing defense. I know it's early, but rushing defense, 17th. That's right in the middle of the pack. If you told me going into the season that the Cowboys were going to have an average run defense, I'd be like, great. Let's do that, and I'm excited about that. But also on the rushing offense, 11th in the NFL. And it's not just the numbers. It's if you watch the games, specifically Javonte Williams has had the ability to push the line of scrimmage or push the pile when I thought the play was over.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I thought it was dead, and he's done that, it feels like, at least once a game. Now, the issue is whether it's a big Javonte Williams run or after the big Miles Sanders run is, man, they have killed their lengthiest runs with immediate turnovers. So I don't know how much you think that offsets, but both the rushing offense and defense have been better than I thought.
Yeah, no, I think you're dead on there. You know what? Miles Sanders has proven to me a couple different times that he still has – he's fleet of foot. Not fast, burner. But he can get through to and through the hole the right way. Javonte Williams is, I kept saying before the season, if he can make one cut, you know, and if he can make one cut, we're going to be pretty good on running the ball. I've seen him do that a couple times. I did not anticipate the power that he's been running with. That's something that really did catch me off guard because I just had not seen that the same way. But he didn't have, I don't think he had it last year in his legs after the injury.
Yeah. Now, these are back-to-back. They were wrong that Leafau was going to be good. And then also this person says, I was 100% wrong about these linebackers. I had a good feeling about them. They're all horrible. Now, we talked about, like, some of the Pro Football Focus numbers on Sanborn, the fact that you haven't really gotten to see a lot of Leafau. I am going to move up in the defense just a little bit. I really thought, and this is not to say that Donovan Ezeraku won't have a kick-ass career. I thought, based on training camp, man, he was going to walk right in here and make an impact, like, straight away.
I'm glad you said that, because this is one of those instances. I was kind of talking with a friend about this. This is one of those instances where the games and practice told us two different stories.
Yeah.
The preseason games told me that Ezeraku was not there yet, because if you watch the preseason games, he was – applying pressure, but you remember you used to call Anthony Spencer almost there,
Yeah.
And he was almost there on every single one of those.
Yep.
You know, you asked me this year, hey, do you think that he's going to have more than four sacks? And I was like, I think three. And I was like, that would be a good year. Four and a half would be good for him is what I said. And people were like, no, I'm expecting nine out of him. And I was like, dude, most rookies in the first round only get about 3.5 sacks. So, like, this is a big deal if he gets that. He's been almost there. He's still, you're still seeing him learn the position. Yesterday, John, owning on with G-Bag, was talking about one of his key signature moves is this Euro step where he slaps the hands,
right,
and he's just
right,
a little bit
right.
off on that. I love what John Owning was talking about yesterday. He's just a little bit off there. But then when we were watching preseason practice, I was like, this dude's a star. This
yeah.
dude is amazing.
Yeah.
But then I watched the games, and I was like, that's a really good tackle he's up against. All right, so this I think that's going to be more like what he's going to be this year.
And, man, we've mentioned this a couple times in the past week and a half. Will Dante Fowler please show up? I thought that this was a really savvy move for not a lot of money. He was relatively productive here. He was productive in Washington. He has not mattered a lick on this team so far. So Ezeraku and Dante Fowler, absolutely. I think I was wrong about because I thought they were going to have more of an impact, at least early on this team. Now, I wanted to hit something. I saw a couple of people talking about this. Don't you think you can count the rush defense being better because teams know the defense can give up any?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I think that. But think back. They were really solid. Well, I'm going to say they were solid in the first game. Now, I know you're going to say Jalen Hurts. I get
that.
They
played a game that we did not expect in the first
game. And you played significantly better against the best running back in the league than we thought. Then I think in game two, it was really shown how god-awful the secondary is at the moment. And clearly, that was exploited to the nth degree in game three. So now I think that's probably going to kind of not be as important because I don't think teams are going to run the ball as much against the Cowboys. But I do still think, like, outside of the stats, just watching, like, the moments these runs happen in the game, I think they have been way better than I thought. Now, we've got Micah Parsons making his return. I got some Micah prop bets for you guys. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yes, I am.
All right. Will Micah Parsons get at least one sack?
In this game,
yes.
I think they're going to do everything they can to keep him from it. I think they're going to chip. I think it's going to become one of their most important things is do not let Micah Parsons embarrass us on this stage.
Okay.
I think they're going to do that. And you know what? I feel like it's going to pay off with other people then because the Cowboys approach to that. But I do think he will get his one because he does hunt them. He does. He will go out
sure.
of his way from the defense in order to get that one sack for himself.
Now, Alec, I want to include you on this next question. 2-1 on your money. Will Micah Parsons get two or more sacks Sunday night?
Ooh. I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
I think this might be like his Green Bay debut where they're going to be up by two scores or whatnot, and it's not really going to matter, and he's going to get that sack in the fourth quarter, and then everybody can have their headline for Monday.
Yeah, yeah, that is a good point. Corey, for 2-1 on your money, will Micah Parsons get two or more sacks?
Man, you know what? If this game's out of hand late,
yeah, that's what Alex said.
Yeah, that's Alex right there. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say one is what they hold him to because they're again. I think they don't want to be embarrassed by it.
For 3-1 on your money, will Kenny Clark get a sack in this game? I know. Obviously, we've talked a whole lot about Micah. Want to throw Kenny Clark in there? 3-1 on your money.
Yes. I'll take that bet all day long. I think he's going to have a sack and he's going to have multiple tackles for loss.
Alec?
I kind of like it. I'm going to say yes. I like how he was talking to the media the other day about, like, this is all business. If old friends want to come seek me out after the game, cool. I don't care about them. I'm here to play football.
Dude, the two things with that, one, he does know those guys. He went up against them all the time, so he knows that too. So there's a good thing to go along with that. They know him, so those things balance out. But did you hear about the sweet situation with him?
Yeah, I saw that report. I do. I definitely want to ask Jerry about that.
He has Micah's suite. He was like, it's going to be packed.
Well, yeah, because he said he couldn't get his money back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he paid for it in full. I definitely want to ask Jerry about that tomorrow. All right, these next two, money to be made perhaps. Alec, 3-1 on your money. Will Micah Parsons get a roughing the passer, taunting, or late hit penalty?
Ooh, I'm going to say yes. And specifically, I think it's going to be taunting.
Taunting.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think he's going to hurt Dak or anything. I don't think he's going to be vicious. I think he's going to do some sort of celebration that the refs, which they're super soft this year anyways, they're going to throw a flag on him.
Corey?
Can you repeat the question,
Kevin?
We'll
go to the next question.
All right.
5-1 on your money. I think this is a yes bet. Will the crowd chant Micah Parsons or Micah Parsons? Now, I would assume this has to be loud enough to, like, get picked up.
Oh, it's going to
5-1 on your money.
I think it'll be Micah. I don't think it'll be Parsons.
Okay.
I think it'll be Micah. And here's why. We've seen a history of the last 10 years now, other teams invading this stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Packers fans, because the Cowboys are down right now, and because the Packers fans are hot, this is their chance and Packers fans live everywhere. This is their chance to see it. I think this stadium's going to be maybe half and half, dude. I think it's maybe half and half. And so I'm very concerned about that. And I think that they're going to want to try and prove if their guy gets a sack, they're going to want to show up for it.
Alec, 5-1 on your money.
Why not? I love the long odds. I always do. I'm a sucker for those. Throw $10 on it and forget you ever did it.
All right. I got one more question then. Over under, how many times will Jerry be shown on Sunday Night Football during the game? So it has to be like between kickoff and end.
15.
Wow. All right. You're going to want to play the over on this.
Yeah.
Alec, the over under is 3. That feels, I feel like you take the over on
that,
right?
I'll take the over all day.
That feels really low. I'm smashing the over on that one. I'm thinking more like 5 or 6 times.
See, I like that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. I got NFL overreaction or reality for you. Plus, let's...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do some baseball nuggets all wrapped into one next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field for the Texas Rangers final home game of the season. We got some baseball nuggets coming up in just a minute. But first, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality, gentlemen. Jared Goff is still the most underappreciated quarterback in the NFL?
That is, that's an interesting question because I can't think of anybody else that's more underappreciated than him right now.
Every once in a while, I hate to say this, and I know people are going to get mad. Do you ever feel like Jalen Hurts is underappreciated?
I do, but he's not a prolific passer.
True.
I think he's, you know, he's a winner. His team knows what to do to win. But I think Jared Goff doesn't get the love because everybody made it seem like he was just a product of Sean McVay whenever he was here. And, he doesn't run. He's not flashy. He doesn't have the ability to run. Troy said it the other night. He's more like me, where he's just kind of in the pocket. And
right.
He's taking care of his business. I think he's very underrated. Dude, that throw that he made on 4th and 2 to Amon-Ra St. Brown, when you know Dan Quinn's mentality, he's already going for it. That whole team knows that they have that option available to them, and they already know on 3rd down, based on the play, what they're going to do next. That throw was so perfect. And, Kevin, whenever I watched him in college, what did I keep saying? Him 20-plus yards might be the most accurate quarterback I've ever seen.
Right.
And he's continued to be that kind of guy.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to say reality, and it goes to what Corey was talking about yesterday with Giancarlo Stanton, the idea of, you know, Hall of Very Good.
Yes.
I think that's what he falls into me, unfortunately, because he does have so many great playmakers around him, and he's got a maniac of a head coach that ends up taking most of the credit. Not by design, but, you know, a lot of people, we just heard Melissa Stark talking about it with you guys, that, like, he's just a quote machine, and he's the guy making the decisions at the end of the day, so people point to him more than they do the quarterback making the passes, so I think it's unfortunate, but it's true.
NFL overreaction or reality, Travis Hunter isn't getting used enough by the Jags. Now, I know Deion Sanders came out and was like, yeah, he can be used more. We did that for multiple years. And the Jags coaches came out, I think it's this morning or yesterday, said they could help him out more. But for somebody who is supposed to be maybe the most prolific wide receiver in this draft, he has 10 catches for 76 yards this season.
I felt I liked him at cornerback a lot, and so I know where they're trying to use him. You think they're just trying to get his feet wet a little bit and trying to, you know, as far as that goes? And I think he's getting a little extra oomph from other cornerbacks out there that are like, yeah, we're going to show you, you punk kid.
Oh.
Like, I just feel like that's probably a mentality going up against him is, there's no way I'm letting this punk kid who thinks he can run both sides of the ball show me up whenever he's just a cornerback as well.
Alec?
I'm right there with Corey. I actually like the idea of people going into games against him like, huh, not going to let this, you know, like this Toy Story character that can do everything, you know, show me up. It's his first year in the league. I got to show this guy up. I got to make sure. Yeah, I'm right there with Corey. I'm going to be in lockstep there. I am interested to see how the ebbs and flows of the season kind of impact his snap count, though. I do think that they could give him some better looks and some better situations, but maybe it is one of those things where they're just like, hey, you know, it's a longer season here in the NFL. There's a lot more physicality that goes into this sport, so we're going to kind of temper our expectations.
NFL overreaction.
Can I go back to three questions ago?
Oh, my gosh.
Two questions ago.
Okay.
A lot of people say Baker Mayfield.
Ooh.
Most underappreciated quarterback.
That's a good answer. I wonder if that's changing for him this year.
Because of his biceps injury?
Not necessarily.
Right.
I wonder if we're literally in the middle of watching that narrative change. But that is a really good answer. All right, overreaction or reality. Shane Steichen early on is far and away the early leader for NFL Coach of the Year.
I don't – who else? You know, like –
Would
like,
you say Harbaugh?
Okay. Yeah, you know, yeah, because the Chargers, like, their identity right now is definitely their defense, and their offense is capable, and that's I'm talking about the Chargers right now. But what Shane Steichen's doing, he's an offensive-minded guy.
Yeah.
And his team is doing his team is doing exactly what they need to do, scoring every time. Like, they're every time they go down the field, they're controlling the game. He said, I know what Daniel Jones is. I'm not going to ask Daniel Jones to go be a hero. I'm going to ask Daniel Jones to be a quarterback of my team. And Daniel Jones said, all right, I got this. And the rest of the team said, we can do our jobs too. And I think this is a very impressive coaching job because this could have been it for him. And right now he's making the statement that he needs to be there for a long time.
You agree, Alec? Is it Steichen or bust right now?
I agree. It's a reality. And for a more specific reason, I've seen him do this twice now. And I think people really kind of don't give him enough credit for what he did in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts found his stride as a passer in the NFL when Shane Steichen was the guy
right at
the helm calling the plays. He's now doing it again with a guy that we thought a lot less of than Jalen Hurts. At this day and time, in 2025, who expected Daniel Jones to be a viable and successful NFL quarterback? Next to nobody. This is the second time he's done this, and I think he needs to be rewarded for it right here, right now. That could change if things go up in flames, but right now it has to be Steichen.
This next question is very dramatic. NFL overreaction or reality, the Houston Texans season is O-V-E-R over. I got a bonus question
three
that's
games
also
in,
dramatic.
It's still early.
That's right.
So I'm not willing to say that yet, but you said 0-2 and you're done, so I might go with
that's
that.
That's not – no. I did not say that.
I think it's a little tough to say over, but I don't know how they're going to revive it. The offensive line doesn't look like it's found a way to protect him like it was last year. And C.J. Stroud, I think at this point you're starting to really ask the question of, is C.J. Stroud going to fall apart? And not-
Bonus question for you, Corey Majors. C.J. Stroud peaked in his rookie season and will never be that good again.
Reality.
Oh!
Sorry, Texans fans. Y'all are done for. Y'all are going to have to go draft another one at the top of the draft. That's unfortunate for them. Because he looked so good in the first
one. I know. All right, Alec, your thoughts on both of these bold, potentially ridiculous questions.
I'm going to go reality to the first one and say that their season is cooked because it feels a lot like we talk about with the Cowboys defense specifically here for them on offense. The personnel just does not match what they want to achieve.
Right,
and I don't think that's going to change throughout the course of a season. I think C.J. Stroud is going to be fine in the long run. I just think that Nick Caserio might have gotten his flowers a little bit too early about his ways that he can manipulate draft capital and cap numbers and all of that to build a good team. I thought he was going to be the next Howie Roseman whenever I saw what he was doing with the back-to-back C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. picks. I was like, oh, my God, this guy, he understands it. You take risks, you swing big, and it pays off. Well, he did absolutely nothing this offseason, and I think he's reaping the negative side of that.
Overreaction or reality, the Chiefs' offense and their offensive line is going to cost them a spot in this year's playoffs.
Man, hold on, which one? Because the offense is struggling.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go with the offense. I know they have offensive line issues, but they have legitimate offensive problems.
Their inability to run the ball right now is fascinating to me because Pacheco is an angry runner, but he doesn't have the holes. And Andy Reid's always been good at having a unique backfield where the guys could catch out of the backfield, run also. There was never an Emmitt Smith, Derrick Henry kind of thing for him. It's always been a Bryant Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, guys that can do lots of different things. And so the fact that they can't get that going kills their offense altogether because downfield, the only play Mahomes seems to have right now is I got to throw it 90 yards over to Thornton. And they're going to be okay because, hey, man, Travis Kelce's falling apart. Noah Gray, he's getting good opportunities, but then there's a holding. So I think you're right, man. The offense and offensive line are going to be the reason.
All right, Alec, I'm going to kick it over to you with a bonus question as well. The Chiefs have to beat the Ravens if they want to make the playoffs. Because, I think the Ravens division, because I know they have the same record, I think the Ravens division looks like it's significantly more open for them to still come back and take.
Sure.
Whereas it looks like maybe the Chargers are going to prevent that in the West.
Yeah, I'm going to go reality to both. And it might not even be for the bonus question, it might not even come down to a math or a logistics standpoint, just a confidence thing and a measuring stick game. For me, at least, you have to beat one of the premier teams in the AFC because right now I haven't seen anything that says you can hang with some of those teams, especially shockingly enough to me, the Chargers. I knew they were going to be decent. I didn't think they were going to be this good and almost unstoppable. Quentin Johnston, my guy, TCU Horned Frog. He figured out how to catch footballs again, and it's an amazing thing for that offense. I don't know what's going to stop them at this point, and it's certainly not going to be the Chiefs because of their offense not showing much right now.
All right, since you said that, let's transition to the next logical question.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Question, overreaction or reality, Justin Herbert is the real front runner for the NFL MVP. Now, the odds will still tell you it's Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I am here to tell you the front runner for MVP right now is Justin Herbert.
Who's your dark horse, though?
It's Baker Mayfield, obviously.
Okay, well, that's a terrible decision.
Hey, that was before the season. His odds are lowered.
Your dark horse is obviously Daniel Jones, Kevin. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Everybody was wrong about Daniel Jones, including me. So I was wrong about two things now. The Daniel Jones, I think, literally, seriously, if he can keep this up all season, is in contention for it. But I think he'll end up being behind Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
Do you know in some places you could still get 40-1 on Daniel Jones for MVP?
So I have to bet $40?
No. You can bet $2 and win $80. But like by comparison,
but
Herbert,
if I bet $40, I could win.
Then you would win $1,600.
I think I can do that.
Okay, well, compare that.
I find that in the budget.
Compare that to Herbert. He's only 5-1.
Yeah.
So I'm saying the numbers are significantly higher. All right, Alec, overreaction or reality? Justin Herbert is the real favorite for the MVP right now.
Overreaction for now. I think that's going to change if they continue the route that they're going. But I still think it's going to end up being Josh Allen for the foreseeable future, just because they're going to keep manufacturing ways to win. And if they keep on getting into those tight AFC matchups that go into the fourth quarter and overtime, you could see plenty more games where he's got north of 350, 400 passing yards, and it's just going to make his stats look better and better. So I think the argument for Allen is going to stand.
All right, let me throw out at least one more, if that's okay with you guys. I know Brian Daboll yesterday, I think, was like, the decision to change quarterbacks was mine. And I was like, yeah, that no kidding. That's what we all thought. So overreaction or reality, Brian Daboll will not last the season as the Giants head coach.
I think full reality.
Ooh, that's your guy.
I think he tried to hire Jackson Dart, or get Jackson Dart to keep his job. But I don't think that it's going to work this year. I think Jackson Dart's going to prove to be a pretty good quarterback. But the fact that you've lost over and over and over with other people, I think that's going to fall on him also. And they're going to go, you know what? We're not tying Jackson Dart's history to you. So we're going to tie it to another coach that we think can be better with him.
Okay.
And I think that's unfortunate, because I still think Daboll can coach. But it looks like he has gotten in over his head.
Alec? What say you?
Man, I do think Brian Daboll is going to be a great offensive coordinator next year. I don't know who for.
I don't know who for,
but that tells you reality, Kevin. I think what kind of wrote him off for me is how quick they pivoted to Dart. I think that shows the amount of panic in his mind, and I think that shows the amount of panic or just, you know, uneasiness and unrest from ownership. Like, all right, dude, you got to do something to keep people showing up. Go ahead and put the rookie in. Why not? This is your last hoorah. Maybe it looks fun in the process, but you're not going to be here next year.
Yeah, it could be a lot of fun.
Well, that is my last overreaction or reality for today. We can pick that back up
tomorrow.
We still
have 20 minutes of the show.
Don't
Kevin.
Worry. I've got more content. I'm just saying we're going to stop there. We'll pick it back up tomorrow live from the Taco Bueno, 5748 Southwest Green Oaks. Hope you're out there.
Mm.
Got tons of giveaways, delicious food, in addition to hopefully the delicious content. But right now, Alec, can you give me cut number 5, please?
On the fan.
Channing MVP. Fly ball to right field. Number 60. A catcher has hit 60 home runs.
That is Cal Raleigh with his 60th home run, and that is what we will discuss to kick off. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's Baseball Nuggets. And let's start with that home run. Absolutely incredible day yesterday, as this remains one of the most interesting AL MVP races in the modern era. Cal Raleigh hits 59 and 60, while Aaron Judge hits home run 50 and 51.
Oh, wow.
To join his
jump.
That sounded really sarcastic. To join his own exclusive club. But let's start with Cal Raleigh. He is the 7th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 60 home runs, at least 60
Not
home runs in a
season. Not a single one of them have ever been catchers.
That is definitely true. Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, Aaron Judge, and the Big Dumper. And if you go by just players that you think are clean, he joins Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and Aaron Judge in that category.
Dude. Interestingly
enough, does that mean no one has ever hit 60 home runs cleanly in the National League?
I guess so. If you want to call that not clean,
I do.
Allegedly. Kevin, I just Salvador Perez at 48 was the most.
Wow.
He's 12 past that right now and could be more by the end of the season here. That's another thing that's just so impressive to me because those are – Johnny Bench at 45, those are outlier seasons for catchers, man.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. This is impressive to see what some of these guys are really capable of doing. I'd love to see the Rangers have some hitting like that at some point.
I don't think we've hit 60 home runs all year. No, I'm just kidding. I know we have. But, like, you get the idea. So, all right, that happens on one side. And then for Aaron Judge, he becomes the fourth player in MLB history to have four 50 home run seasons with Babe Ruth, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa. And again, if you want to view it one particular way, that means him and Babe Ruth are the only clean players in the history.
Well, we have no clue what Babe Ruth was up to.
Okay, that's true. Allegedly on Babe Ruth. The other two.
There was no testing
and
either,
Bonds,
so yeah.
Yeah, they were taking amphetamines and everything else by the handful. But, like, that's impressive club to be in as well. And I know we talked about this earlier, but Aaron Judge still has an OPS that's 200 points higher than Cal Raleigh.
Wow.
So, like, while we talk all about this, Cal Raleigh's OPS, I think, is like 950, give or take. But Aaron Judge's is 1.145, something like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. He is the best hitter in baseball. You can, like I said, you can balance it out between him and Ohtani. But I think as far as, like, he does everything. He gets hits, too. And that's one of the reasons why I'm like, I would love to give him an Offensive Player of the Year award. Because the other part of it, that's why I like what Riley's doing so much. He has to play a position
right
where he physically takes the biggest toll of anybody on the field. And that's just a very tough thing, but that is super impressive by him.
Now,
What did you say his OPS was?
It's like 1.140 or
okay.
Something.
No, I'm sorry, Riley.
I think it's like 950.
Okay,
which
so.
Which is still great.
Yeah, I'm looking. I just wanted to see the highest ones ever. He would, if he's falls in at 950, Kevin, that'll be 21st for a single season for a catcher.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
For a single season for a catcher.
Wow,
Buster Posey was at 957.
Wow,
go all the way.
Low.
Mike Piazza had a 1.070. Joe Mauer had a 1.031. So Piazza has four of the five highest ever seasons.
That makes sense. It's 959. I double checked.
Okay.
But that makes sense because Cal Raleigh's batting average is also .248. And so I think that gives a big advantage for Piazza.
Guess what?
That.
Actually, he is 18th then at 959.
Oh, okay.
Right behind Piazza, who also had 960 in 1998.
All right. Now, let's go from that to the Philadelphia Phillies. Philadelphia Phillies last night, they clinched a first-round bye in spectacular fashion as they hit a team record 8 home runs.
Wow.
To, you know, beat the Marlins.
Haven't the Yankees hit 9 twice this year?
Yes, they have. But I thought, most importantly, they beat the Marlins, who I thought were impossible to beat.
Okay, yeah, well, what are you doing right now, dude? Listen. That was a tough series for us, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to the Marlins and their future endeavors.
Screw the Marlins. I'm still upset that they're not that crazy teal color hat anymore that they don't go out there with. And
don't you think that their hat should actually have one of those Marlin nose spears coming off of it?
Like, there's part of me that kind of thinks they should have a singing fish on their hat. But that's another discussion for another day. But I'm also mad that they made Bochy so sad yesterday.
Yeah, me too,
because
man.
He was so
brutal.
Sad.
It was absolutely brutal.
All right. Everyone's giving him accolades for doing this. Tell me if we should celebrate Tarek Skubal or if this was the logical thing to do. He hit David Fry in the face with a 99-mile-per-hour fastball, and he's going to be out, probably miss the entirety of the playoffs, I'm sure. It's possible, I guess, at the very tail end of the World Series, but realistically, he's going to miss the playoffs. He went and visited him in
went to visit?
Yes. Is that a good guy move, or you probably needed to do that?
That doesn't sound like a guy that was intentionally trying to throw
his face. And I don't think that at all.
So, that's an absolute good guy move. Like, if I did that to you, I'd come see you in the hospital. I would be ashamed of myself. Yeah. But I would definitely come in and see you. Yeah, that's a good guy move for sure. And that, like I said, it tells me that he might have been trying to pitch inside. He might have just lost control of the ball, you know, just a little bit.
Okay.
But he was probably trying to pitch inside and do a little bit of something, and that ultimately was a bad, bad situation.
Let's go from that. We've talked about all kinds of potential.
99 to the face?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
Always makes me think about Delino DeShields Jr.
Oh, my shit. Yes.
And that picture from the hospital. All right, couple pitching notes for you. Good news potentially for the Dodgers. Roky Sasaki has been activated. He'll probably pitch out of the bullpen in the playoffs for the Dodgers. We talked about that's a possibility for Shohei as well because their bullpen is the drizzling S. Mm-hmm. All right, it is just terrible. If they don't win the World Series, it's easy to pinpoint. I bet it's because of the bullpen. So there's that. Then for the Astros, Luis Garcia, he is going to miss all of next year.
Really?
Which will now heighten the need for the Astros to pick up more starting pitching.
Then so what you're saying is we got to go buy more starting pitching just so the Astros can't? Is that what I'm hearing here?
I mean, if you think they're progress starters for like rock stoppers for like Rocker or Bradford, I don't know, but yes, I want the Astros to not have nice
things. You know what?
Things.
I hope they do have to spend more on pitching. This is unfortunate for him, but I hope they do have to spend more on pitching so that they can't buy that extra bat, you know, so that they can't add that other piece that they'd really like to add to the team.
Now, I'm going to tell you an amazing stat, but also followed by the most Corey quote ever, as I believe we are in the midst of opening the roof. I just wanted to make sure everyone heard that music right there from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Kevin, I just want you to know you've lost me until
okay.
This roof is completely open.
Do you want me to just be like...
Don't ask me another question. Just...
All right. Wait for it. All right. Now, I'm going to attempt to tell you a story... And a quote. Alec, just know I'm only talking to you right now, I think.
Oh.
But we're going to wait for one more music to hit. All right, are you ready? Wait. All right. Now, Paul Skeens entered the game yesterday with a 2.03 ERA. He went out there and was phenomenal. Finished the season with a 1.97 ERA. Alec, he is the first Pirate in the live ball era to throw enough innings to qualify and have a sub-2 ERA. And that, to me, feels impressive as hell.
That is really impressive, considering most Pirates only have one hand anyways.
That's a great point.
All because of the hook on the other hand. Yes. And they're missing an eye.
That is true. Now, Corey... This is going to be your favorite quote, I think.
Okay.
Henry Davis said, "Don't let guys score." That's a pretty good recipe for a low ERA. I'm going to go to you, dude, our baseball expert, for thoughts about "don't let guys score." Is that a good way to have a low ERA?
Kevin, you know what KISS is? Keep
yes.
it simple, stupid.
Yes.
And that's a KISS quote right there. If you don't do this, this won't happen. It's very simple. You don't have to complicate it too much. Just say, don't let the guy score. All those other things go out the window whenever you're focused on that.
And
just execute your pitches.
I see a lot of people texting in, yes, they do play that song every time they open the roof. It's like something, something Zathora from 2001, A Space Odyssey. I know a lot of people know it as the Ric Flair theme song, and I understand all of that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you get to join us out at the ballpark. If not, join us tomorrow, once again, in Arlington, Taco Bueno, 5748 Southwest Green Oaks. We'll be doing our show there 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so make sure you tune in or come and see us in Arlington. But you can listen right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Have a nice day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.